If you would, go ahead and open up your copy of the Word to Luke chapter 9. I know that sounds way different than what y'all have been hearing. There's no Mark in there, and we finished Mark last week through the entire gospel in about a year, and so we're going to spend some time over the next couple of weeks going through this series titled Called, and it's Living as a Follower of Jesus, and what that looks like and what that means. And we'll be in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 this morning. And as you're turning there, I don't know about you or how you were when you first met your spouse or you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever that you're pursuing. But I remember when I first met Jamie, right? When I saw her, I knew without a doubt that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, right? I knew it. She's beautiful, she's great, she has a great personality, and I just knew it. And I didn't quite understand at the time what that meant or what that looked like, because I was dating another girl, and I was like, that's not right. And so, true story, right? I was dating someone else, but there was just something in me that knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And eventually, I came to my senses, I broke up with the other girl, and I began to pursue Jamie. But the funny thing is that pursuit, when I first started talking to Jamie, we were seniors in high school, and she had made this promise to her student pastor at this church camp that she wasn't going to date anyone for what, like 4 months or something like that, 3 months? And so when I first started talking to her, she was like, I can't date you. I'm like, what? That's silly. Yes, you can. You're a senior. You can. She's like, no, I made this promise. I'm like, okay, out of honor for her and that promise, I had to come up with creative ways to still pursue her without her knowing that's what I was doing. And somehow I lucked out and I did it, and here we are today. But here's the thing. After that promise was fulfilled and we started dating, I began to chase after her really hard, right? I bought her presents. I wrote her notes. I made all these gifts. I took her out to eat. I even bought her her very first cell phone after we graduated from high school. That was back when cell phones didn't have these amazing screens on them, and they were bricks, and they cost like $50. But I did it, right? I did everything that I could think of to let her know how much I loved her and wanted her to be my wife, right? I pursued her in such a way that revealed to her how much she meant to me. Now, sadly, this is me being honest and confessing to y'all. After being married for 17 years, I don't always pursue her in that same way, right, that I used to, which is something you're hearing me tell you and admit to, so you can hold me accountable. Like, Jason, are you pursuing Jamie the way that you need to? I need that from y'all, because she truly does deserve it. But here's the truth, right? All of us pursue different things at different levels of intensity throughout our life. Right, can we agree to that? We all pursue different things at different levels of intensity. It may be a slow pursuit at first, right? One of caution and one of careful study. Or it may be that you are one of those people that just jump headfirst into the deep end and learn how to swim in that moment. Right? And so we all pursue different things at different levels of intensity. And so here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about when you first decided to pursue Jesus. Right, when you first decided to follow him, it may have been one of careful and cautious study, or it may have been headfirst into the deep end. Right, and when you think about that, I want you to start thinking about how you currently pursue and follow Jesus. What does it look like now? Right, does it look like it did when you first started, or is it stronger now, or was it a stronger pursuit then? What made the change, right? What's changed in that pursuit? These are all questions that we need to ask ourselves on a daily and regular basis, right? And we need to ask these questions because every single one of us, right? Every single one of us has been and is continually being invited to follow Jesus, to pursue after him. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul wrote this. He said, he has saved us and he has called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at what that means, what it means to be called by God, what that the life that, that he invites us to live actually looks like on a daily basis and the practical aspects of those things. And you're probably going to notice the passage that we're looking at today is a passage we've heard before. In fact, Mark, in Mark chapter 8, Mark says these same words and tells us what Jesus said. But we're going to look at it in great detail in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, because here's the thing. I think Luke 9, 23 sums up for us the invitation that Christ has extended to us to follow after him and live as a follower in the way of Jesus. It sums up for us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so today I want us to spend some time looking at this invitation and what it means for each one of us. Whether you're a committed follower to Christ or not, maybe you're asking questions, you're trying to decide, you're that slow, cautious, careful person, you're trying to decide if you're gonna commit to it or not, or maybe you've already plunged into the deep end. But the next 2 weeks, the next after this one, we're gonna look at some more practical aspects of living this invitation out on a daily basis. And then after Thanksgiving, we're going to start a series on Advent, which I'm really excited about, and the hope that Advent brings, the hope that Christ brings to each and every one of us. And so let's get started, and so let's pray, and we'll get started in the scripture today. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to sit and to hear your word. God, maybe we've heard this word a thousand times. Maybe it's the first time we've heard it, but God, we thank you for the opportunity to hear it. And so we pray today that your spirit will fill this place and it will fill our minds and our hearts to receive your word and to receive these words that Christ proclaimed and this invitation that Christ is continuing to extend to each and every one of us. God, and let us take these words and apply them into our lives. Let them reach down into the depths of our heart and do what it needs to do. Father, we thank you. Your word always accomplishes its purpose, and so we trust in that. It's in your name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. So Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he, meaning Jesus, said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. All right, so Jesus, this is an invitation that Jesus gives to anyone, and he started off this invitation by targeting who this invitation was for, right? And he said this, if what? Anyone, right? If anyone. Now, little pop quiz, what does anyone mean? Anyone, right? Anyone means anyone. And so this address that Jesus is giving is literally meant for anyone. Anyone always means anyone. It's all-inclusive, meaning that there's no prerequisites for this invitation. There's no pre-certifications. There's no pre-qualifications, right? There's no tests that have to be passed before anyone can accept this invitation, right? We don't have to submit a resume of 3 to 5 professional references like we do in a job application or a college application or anything like that, right? His invitation is truly for what he says. It's for anyone. It's for all political parties, it's all races, all religions, all people groups, the young, the old, the good, the bad. It's an invitation for anyone who would come after him. I want us to listen here, right? There is nothing that would unqualify you for this invitation either. Right? Because there are no pre-qualifications for this invitation, that means that there is nothing that will make you unqualified for it. There is nothing that you have done in your life that will keep Jesus from extending this invitation to you. In fact, if you are here this morning, he's most likely already extended it to you, and you might just be exploring what that invitation means, right? What all it entails, or you've already accepted it and following after it. And I love this about what Jesus is doing here. In Jesus' day and age, right, people, when they would want to follow a rabbi, what they would have to do is they would have to submit an application, essentially, to the rabbi that they would wanted to follow, and the rabbi would look through that, and he would deem whether that person was qualified or not to follow him. That's what rabbis did. But Jesus, what we see here is that he is the one doing the inviting, Right? Jesus is the one who is extending the invitation to anyone, regardless of their past or their present. He is simply extending the invitation to anyone who would follow after him. Which also tells us this: he didn't care if he got rejected. He wanted people to know that they were invited, right? That they had the invitation. What he cared about was making sure that anyone and everyone was invited to follow him if they so choose. Right? He didn't care about what personal baggage they were bringing in. He didn't care whether they were left-winged liberals or white, right-winged conservatives. I know. We all have problems sometimes. Sometimes mine is confusing R's and W's. But here's the thing. We see that very thing in his own disciples, right? When we look at the disciple Matthew was working for the Roman government, who was a major left-winged government. And then we have James and John, right? James were these right-winged zealots who were absolutely, who hated the Roman government. And those two came together because they followed Jesus. And these guys, they were given the exact same invitation to follow Jesus. And as I said, they did. Jesus didn't care if they were progressive or legalistic. He doesn't care if they've been divorced or have addictions. He doesn't care about those things. He simply extends the invitation for anyone to follow after him. And I love that about Jesus. And he extended that invitation to you and to me to follow after him. And so since Jesus invited everyone to follow after him as his followers, that means we should be inviting everyone to follow after him as well, right? Without pre-qualifications, without prerequisites. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we can't say that some people belong and others don't. We have to truly believe that anyone really does mean anyone. I mean, come on. If Jesus loves Cowboys fans, he truly does accept anyone, right? And so, same with OU fans. You're like, oh, I don't know about that one. Here's the deal. I know that's not an easy task. Right, it's not an easy task just for us to accept anyone into the fold. It's not easy to be accepting of someone that we don't agree with, whether it's politically or morally or whatever. But here's where we have to trust Jesus and his words. Right? By his good grace, when he invites anyone to follow him, he doesn't just invite them to follow. He begins to teach them to follow. He begins to pour out his transforming grace on them, and he begins to change them from the inside out, just like he's transforming and changing you and me from the inside out. See, growth and transformation, growth and change always occurs from the inside out, not the opposite, not the outside in. And because of that, we need to trust that Jesus always, always accomplishes his work. We need to begin to trust in and live in the finished work of Jesus Christ in our lives and in the lives of other people as well. And so the invitation to follow Jesus truly does begin with anyone. Right? It begins with you and it begins with me. It begins with anyone who would come after him. So Jesus goes on to say, if anyone would come after me, this phrase, right, to come after, it's a phrase that was often used to describe a passionate pursuit of someone or something, right? It's that chasing after. It's pursuing the person or the thing that you love the most, right? It's what you did when you were trying to win over or woo your spouse. It's what I did trying to win over and woo Jamie, right? You pursued them and you chased after them and maybe even did some crazy and some extreme things to show them your love and your devotion for them. Right? It's when you chase after that job or that career that you really want. It's chasing after that trophy kill or that trophy catch when you love to hunt or fish. It's our pursuit of liberty and happiness today, right? It's doing what is necessary to make what we want happen. That's what he means when he's saying, come after me or come after, right? That's what he's saying here, is what he's inviting us into. He's inviting us to passionately pursue him, to follow after him, to give him more than just the weekends or a weekday refill. He's asking you and me to give him our everything, right? To give him our all. Listen, church, giving our lives to Jesus, it's not like investing in the stock market and making sure that your investments are diversified so that you can have some risk but still have some safety, right? It's accepting this invitation to pursue Jesus. It's throwing all of our money into that one stock that we're not sure whether it busts or not. And if it busts, we're left out to dry. If it makes it, awesome. Right, that's the idea here. It's putting all of our eggs in one basket, trusting that Jesus is going to come through with what he promised. It's trusting in Jesus and pursuing Jesus with all of our life, right? With our home life, our work life, our free time, our hobbies, with everything, with all of it. See, Jesus, he invites us to come after him because, and I love this, he first came after us. Think about that. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, put on this dirt suit that we all wear, and he came into this world in the same way that you and I came into this world. He lived the life that you and I couldn't live, and he died the death that you and I still probably deserve. And he did that so that we would come after him and follow him with our whole life. Not just parts of it, not just some of it, not just bits and pieces. Jesus wants all of our life. He wants you. He wants your passionate pursuit of him. He wants all of you. He wants all of your life. And if you've already committed your life to passionately pursuing Jesus, I want you to think about back to the time when you first committed to that invitation. What did you do to pursue him then? Right, his word actually tells us that we need to return to that, right, to start doing those things again. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, God told his people, he goes, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride. You followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. He's recalling that and saying, hey, remember that. Right, when you look at the book of Revelation and he tells the church, he said, do the things you once did. Return to that. Right, God wants us to pursue after him, to chase after him in the same way that he chases after you and me. He wants us to give him our lives, right? To give him all of it. And so Jesus goes on to say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. That phrase, let him deny himself, it's not a very popular phrase today. Right. In fact, the opposite is actually really true for us today. We typically do everything that we can to not deny ourselves, right? To not deny our desires and our longings, to pursue the things that we desire, to pursue the things that we long for, because that's what life tells us to do. That's how we receive happiness in this life. At least that's what the world tells us, right? This world tells us that it's very natural for us to have certain desires and to act out or to live out certain ways. In fact, it tells us that we're wrong if we deny those things, that we all have these desires and these longings that we consider to be felt needs and that we need to pursue those. And hear me on this, it's 100% natural for us to have those desires. That is natural. But because it's natural doesn't mean it's right. And it doesn't mean that it's good. In fact, we believe that the Bible teaches us that our natural state is one of what? Sin and depravity. The Bible teaches us that we all are created with this capacity for both good and evil. So our natural desires and our natural tendencies can actually lead us to do the wrong thing. They can be misleading. So we have to be wise. We have to deny what is wrong and what is not right and what is not good. Also, when Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, he's asking for total surrender. He's asking for a complete and total commitment to him. Right? If we're going to pursue after him, we're going to chase after Jesus Christ, we have to realize that we cannot stay on the same path that we have always been on. We have to choose the path, and we have to choose the way of Christ. And if we're choosing a different path, right, if we're choosing a different way, even if that way seems good or it seems right, but it isn't the way of Christ, we have to get off of it. We're going to have to give up the way that we are on, and we're going to have to get on the way of Christ in the ways that he has provided. See, when I was younger, I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house, my mom's parents, and my papa, he would spend a lot of time with me teaching me how to do all these different things. We had a blast doing it. But one of the phrases that he would constantly repeat to me as he was teaching me is like, Jason, it's the dicky way or it's the highway. Right? Anyone have grandparents like that? Like, it's my way or it's the highway? I'm the only one? Cool. So, it was fun that he did this, right? He had his set way of doing things, and for him, they usually worked. But they didn't always work for me, right? And sometimes I would see a different way, maybe an easier way, but it wasn't his way, and so he would get on to me and be like, Jason, it's the dicky way or the highway, and sometimes I chose the highway. Right? Sometimes I proved him wrong. Most of the time he proved me right or proved me wrong. But here's the thing. He was set in his ways. He was set in what he was taught. And sometimes I think we fall into that same trap. Right? We fall into these preconceived ideas of what we think is right or what we think is the right way to do things. And instead of looking at the way of Christ and saying, I'm going to do it that way. But Jesus is inviting us to pursue him. And when we do pursue him, we're choosing his ways over our ways. We're choosing his path over our path. We're giving up our rights. We're giving up our freedoms. We're giving up our liberties. And we're saying, I choose Jesus, trusting in him as our Savior King. And here's the promise of Scripture. Right, Scripture tells us when we pursue after Jesus, when we accept his invitation and his grace of grace to follow after him, he tells us that the old is gone and that the new has come. Meaning that our old self has died, right? It is gone. It is no longer there. And that he has clothed us and he has put on us a new self. And that new self is himself. He clothes us with his righteousness, with his goodness, and his grace. And so this denying of ourself is, it's actually a denial of our old self, of our old ways, and it's an accepting of a new self, of Christ, and the person that he transforms us into. It's accepting of the new life that we are given in him. Right, it's looking at our desires of our old self and our old ways, and it's saying that we no longer want to be slaves to those desires, but that we want to give in to Christ and follow Christ because Christ loves us more and he wants more and he wants better for us. It's pursuing Jesus more than artificial joy that our old self offered. In fact, when we deny ourselves, we discover the joy that comes from Christ and the joy that only Christ can offer. Right? When we deny ourselves, that's what he gives us. But here's where this starts to get tricky, right? We're like, that sounds good, Jason, but it starts getting tricky in this area. It's easy for us to accept this invitation to follow Christ. Right, it's easy for us to maybe give him parts of our lives or to pursue him at times. It's easy for us to maybe even deny parts of ourselves. Right, the parts that bring us guilt and shame. But when following Jesus gets tricky is when he tells us to take up our cross. That's when it gets hard. See, for Jesus' listeners, right, and I think we've kind of mixed this up sometimes. We think that the cross is this thing that of carrying our burdens with us. But for Jesus' listeners, the cross was a weapon that was used for a shameful death. Right? That's what the cross was. It was reserved for the worst of criminals. Right? It's what we would liken to the electric chair today. right? It was this horrific and shameful way for anyone to have to die. And so for Jesus to extend this incredible invitation, because when he extended this, he hasn't gone to the cross yet, right? He just brought it up to them that that was what was going to happen, that he was going to die. And so when he extended this incredible invitation to anyone to pursue him and pick up their cross, that was a game-changing request, right? It's understandable that when you choose to follow something that you have to make some changes in your life, right? I think we can all say, yeah, we understand that. But when you ask me to pick up and carry a weapon of my own demise, my initial response is no, thank you. I don't think I want that. And that's what he was asking them, essentially. Right? That's how this invitation would have sounded. And like I said, we've taken this invitation to mean like we carry our burdens with us, right? Whether those are our guilts or our shames or our disabilities or whatever, and that's cute. But I want you to hear me on this. When Jesus gave this invitation, what he was saying is, this is a one-way invitation. This is a one-way street, right? Anyone who picked up the cross and had to carry it to Golgotha knew what their final destination was. They knew that it was going to be this trip that was going to be laced in shame and guilt and opposition and humiliation and death. They knew that's what it went to. And so those were the sure things that for anyone who picked up a cross that they were going to have to endure. And here's the thing, that's what Jesus is inviting us into. He's inviting us into this life of pursuing him that will be a one-way path, right? He's inviting us into a way that involves suffering, a way that involves humiliation, a way that involves opposition and possibly even death, right? This is why, this is where things get tricky, right? This is why things get hard for us in here. We want to pursue a Jesus that makes life easy and comfortable for us, right? That makes life more enjoyable, right? We want to be fed with an encouragement and love and feel-good moments on a regular basis instead of picking up a cross and carrying it on our shoulders every single day of our lives, right? We don't want to get our hands dirty. We don't want to roll up our sleeves and get messy by dealing with others and the struggles that they're going through when they show up, right? So we come and we sing the songs, we even give our tithes, but we don't roll up our sleeves and we don't pick up our cross and we don't help other people pick up their cross either. But I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said when he wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. You've probably heard this phrase before. He said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Right, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. This is what Jesus is inviting us into. Right? He's inviting us into a life of dying to ourself, a life of living for him, a life that embraces humiliation, that embraces suffering, that embraces opposition, and that even embraces death. A life that embraces all of those things in love for God and in love for others. Picking up our cross as a daily dying to ourself. It's not just the denial of yourself, though. It's giving up our personal rights and our personal freedoms for his kingdom because we trust in his ways. It's giving up our lunch break to talk to our coworker about Christ and his great love for them. Right, it's giving up a weekend or a weeknight to mentor and to serve refugees in our community. It's going out to the prison to love and to serve the least of these. It's giving up a meal so that you can feed the person standing on the corner begging for money. Right, it's giving up a Sunday a month to serve in Crossroads Kids or your Sunday evenings to come up and serve in Crossroads Students. It's giving up these things so that we can show people the love of Christ and how much Christ truly means to us and how much love he has for them, right? It's dying to yourself daily so that Christ can live through you in every aspect of your life. Right? That's the hardest part of following Jesus, to choose to die daily so that Christ can live in us. But listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness," right? "It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? It is the power of God." Right? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't understand. So when we take up our cross and we carry it daily, it looks foolish to people who don't understand it. But for us that are being saved, it is the power of God at work in our lives. So when we choose to pick up our cross daily, the cross is no longer this device of shame and torture and suffering, even though we may face those things on a daily basis, right? The cross is no longer foolish because the cross is where we find victory. Right, it's where we find grace. It's where we find hope in our lives. It's where we find healing. Right, the cross is where we find a joy-filled life. Amen? Amen? See, Jesus wrapped up his gracious invitations with these words. He said, "And follow me." Right, he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Right, Jesus' goal in his invitation is to create disciples, right? To create followers, to have people know what his mission is and to live out his mission in their lives on an everyday basis, right? To create people who are deeply transformed by Jesus so that they can live like Jesus in their everyday lives. Jesus came into this world, right, to pursue after you and to pursue after me, to show us the life that he has for us, the life that he has created us to live. But in order for us to experience that life, we have to make the decision to truly follow him, to passionately pursue him as he passionately pursues and chases after us, to deny ourselves by dying to ourselves on a daily basis. And so what Jesus is ultimately saying to you and to me is that to be a follower is to be deeply transformed by him so that we can live like him in our everyday lives. That's what he's saying, to allow him to make that transformation from the inside out. And next week, we're going to get into what this looks like practically and what it means to be deeply transformed by Jesus. But for today, I want us to end with this truth, right? If we want to be a follower of Christ, if we want to be a follower of Jesus, that means we have to be deeply transformed by Jesus. And if we're going to be deeply transformed by Jesus, we have to let him do that transformation through his word, through time spent in prayer, through being together as the body of Christ, by dying to ourselves, picking up our cross, and following after him. We have to say yes to him again and again and again, because we trust in him. We trust in his redemptive love. We trust in his merciful grace. And here's the thing, the more that we say yes to him, the more he will be a part of our everyday lives. And the more that he is a part of our everyday lives, the more that you and I will be transformed by him. And so when we begin to take the invitation to follow Christ seriously, right, when we accept that invitation of grace to pursue after him, to deny ourselves and to die to ourselves daily, the truth is we will be transformed by the gospel of Jesus in some deeply rooted ways. And we will experience the life that Christ has meant for us to truly, truly live. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this truth today. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that you invite us to follow after and to chase after you. Lord, and that invitation is extended to anyone, that there are no prerequisites, there are no pre-qualifications, but that you extend it to anyone. God, I thank you that you extended that invitation to me, someone who doesn't deserve it. But you love me enough to invite me anyways. God, I thank you that you not only teach me what it or that you not only invited me, but that you teach me what it means to follow after you. That you teach me what it means to deny myself and to take up my cross and everything that is a one-way street, that is a one-way goal. And that through my weakness, you are glorified and made strong. I thank you for that. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us and to know what it means and what it looks like to follow after you. God, that you will deeply transform our lives so that we can live our everyday lives for you. We love you, and it's in your holy name that we pray these things. And everyone said, amen.